So I want to talk to you about this love reset. And, you know, like I said, if you've ever been in love and you've lost the love, there's a pain that goes through that. 2 weeks ago, I talked about say it, write it, give it, forgive it, and live it. Last week, I talked about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 of what love really is. And I went through that and what that meant. I talked about how the Greek definition of love is, there's four, but I gave three. Eros is just, what can I get from you? That's some people that just live their lives. What are you going to give me? And then there's the phileo love. That's, well, I did this for you. Now you got to do this for me. And husbands and wives, if you live that way in your relationship, in your home, you're going to be in line for a tough go of it, because you will never be satisfied. But if you live the God kind of love, it's the agape is the word. It's an unconditional love. That means that I give to you and I think of nothing in return. I give you anything that you need, anything that you want, I give to you and I don't want nothing back. I don't do things for my spouse because I'm expecting her to do that something back for me. I mowed the lawn and I painted the house. Now, what are you going to do for me? You are out of your mind if you think that way. Agape love is the love that you give and you expect nothing, absolutely nothing in return. And I just want to just take a few minutes with you this morning. And I'm only going to be a couple minutes. And I want to read this description that John, the writer of Revelation, if you have your Bible and you want to open it up to Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to read seven verses. John writes a letter, the Bible says, the seven different churches. And the New King James describes the church instead of giving the church of Ephesus, the church of Philadelphia, the church of Thyatira. He describes what those churches, the name, he calls them the loveless church. He calls one the persecuted church. He says one is called the compromising church. He calls another one the corrupt church, the dead church, the faithful church. And then he calls one church a lukewarm church. That is the most interesting out of them. They're all interesting. But the one that I want to talk about today is that one, that church of Ephesus, what he calls the loveless church. And listen to what he says here. He says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand. This is God speaking, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and they are not, and found them to be liars. You have persevered, you have patience, and have labored for my namesake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You know, how do you know when someone is in love, when you're in love, where the person is in love? I was sharing in the first service, you know, I loved it when my young boys, they got old enough and they begin to date, and then they found the ladies that my two oldest sons anyways, and we're still praying for my youngest one. He's not here right now, so I can say whatever I want about him. But when people get in love, they begin to act different. I can tell it. I remember my boy's coming home, and I remember telling her mom, yep, they're in love, honey. She goes, what do you mean? Look at them. They're wacky. They act. They're spacey. You could look right at them and talk to them. They just say, huh? But people that are in love, they want to be together. They make sacrifices. They endure inconveniences. You don't have to be persuaded to be with someone. They're proud to walk together. And God sends these seven letters to seven churches, and one of them went to the church of Ephesus, and he starts out and he recognizes them for all the good things they're doing. He says in verse 2, he says, I know your works. He said, I know your labor. He said, I know you've got patience. The word works means that you work, you do what you say you're going to do. My goodness, is that a plus in our society today that we would have a people that would say they were going to do something and then they did it? And then he says, you labor. It means to toil until you become weary. You don't give up just because things are a little difficult. You endure. And he says, you have patience. You abide with God. You stay with it. Even in the middle of a storm, you don't just give up. And he goes on and it gets a little more intense. He says, you will not tolerate evil. And in our culture today, our culture would try to get us to tolerate evil. You know, I debated whether my kids always say, stay out of politics. And this isn't political, but this is evil. When the governor of our state says that people, parents, need to be more tolerant of their kids going in the same bathroom as the opposite sex and be able to view the intimate parts of the opposite sex, and they need to get over it and become tolerant. That is evil. We should not tolerate that. That will never be, and it cannot be. That is wrong. And God says, this church, they don't tolerate that. They stand up against that. And he says, because they did that, he complimented them. And let me say something else. He will compliment you and I when we don't tolerate it either. And I'm not talking about being nasty and going off on some deep end and being a bigot and being racist. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that are downright evil. And then he says, you've tested those who say they are apostles and they are not, and you found them to be liars. You know, there's a lot of people that just because they have something in front of their name does not mean they're saying the truth. And if it doesn't come out of this book, it's not the truth. You got to know that. You got to learn that. You got to understand that. And he, and some would try to tell you, you got to work your way. You got to pay your way. Be a part of a certain church or denomination, and you got to be a part of God's kingdom and believe his word. Amen. And then he goes on to say, and you persevere. He repeats again, you've persevered, you have patience, you've labored for my name's sake, you haven't become weary. And even though Jesus says all these great things that they are doing, they're working, they're laboring, they have patience, they don't stand for evil, they call people out when they don't tell the truth. He says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. You left your first love. You left the agape love that God showed you and that you once had for him. He said, there was a time when you served me because you were so grateful for what I have done for you. There was a time when you didn't look for anything in return. There was a time where you didn't wait for somebody to beg you to do something, that you loved God so much because of what he did for you, that you wanted to serve him. You loved him because you weren't interested in what you were going to get for it, but just because of what he's done for you, you are grateful for the opportunity to do anything you could back to him. And sometimes we think things have gotten, we get so good and we want to be popular and we want to be complimented for everything that we do, and I'm all for that. But at the end of the day, you got to do it because you love him and no other reason. And you can't live a life just going through a routine and not have it be a part of your heart. Because if you do that, there's no compliment, there's no accolades that anybody could pay you to keep you doing and being who God has called you to be. Lost that sense of being thankful and grateful. And God's already done some amazing things here. And I don't want to belabor anything. But sometimes when we go through the right motions, and sometimes people can say all the right words, but nothing is happening in their heart because we lost that first love. And I had to take a step back. And I had to look at this in my own life. And I had to remember, begin to think about where God and what he had done in my life. And I really love the Lord with all my heart. I mean, I really love him, but I had to look back at where I was when he first saved me, how I ran to that altar in that little Christian Missionary Alliance church when I was broken and undone, when I'd lost my parents and lost two siblings, and I was busted up inside. I was so dysfunctional and so away from God. And I heard a preacher say that if I give my life to Jesus, he'd make me new. He would take my broken, busted heart. And he did. And he would make it alive again. He would do something inside of me. And let me tell you, that's why I love people today that are busted up and broken. When everybody else tells them they have no hope, they're done for, you bring them to City Church and bring them to the men and the women of God here. They will tell them they've got a future. They've got a hope. God has got a plan for their life. And he healed me. And God says to you and I today, he said, do we love him like we first did? Or did we leave that first love? And there's that word first again. Proverbs 3:6 in the living Bible, it says, in everything you do, put God first. And he'll direct you and crown your efforts with success. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside something to give to the Lord. First. And if you and I don't put him first in everything, we will never love him like he has called us, and we certainly won't love one another. We'll tolerate. And so he always gives us an opportunity to show us a pathway. How do we get back there? Well, first of all, you got to remember where you have fallen. This is so incredible. You got to remember where you were. You got to remember how God would work in your life when you first met him, when you first had that encounter with him, when he first saved your life, when he saved you and you didn't deserve anything. You got to remember that. You got to remember those moments like that. I remember when he saved my children. I remember when God began to work in my family. I remember when I got excited when the preacher would say, we're going to have a speaker come in this week. We're going to have 3 extra nights of meetings because we're believing God for a breakthrough. And I used to get excited. And I got to remember that again first in my life. Got to remember that. I remember when I used to tell everybody, come on to church with me. It'll change your life. I got to remember. I've got to go back where I fell from. And I got to remember. I remember when I was a kid and I remember God was working in my life and I was working on the farm and I wanted to get alone with him. And just, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know anything. But I knew if I got alone with him, I knew that if I called out to him, somebody said if I called out to God, that he would hear me and answer me and show me great and mighty things that I knew not of. And in my bib overhauls and my cow boots on and my hat, I'd go upstairs in that barn where I live now, not in the barn, but in the house in front of the barn. And there's a granary there, and I'd shut 2 doors, and I'd go in there. I'd begin to pray, and I'd begin to ask God. And I didn't have the band. I didn't have Rufus on the organ behind me. I didn't have anything. You know what I had? I had cows down below. I could hear them moving in the stanchions. I could hear them mooing. I could hear them pooing. And I'd be up there praying and asking God to touch me, and I'd have these encounters with God in the granary. And the Lord says, to get back to that first love, you got to remember some things that you used to do to get back to where you were. I was thinking of so many different people and so many different experiences and to remember. And I'm going to close in just a minute. I want you to hear this. He said, you got to remember your first, the things where you came from. My goodness, do we get so good and so polished that we forget where we came from? We forget where God brought us from. We forget how low we were, how broken we were, how far away, how we deserved nothing but destruction and hell itself. But Jesus, both through his blood and his sacrifice, came and gave his life on the cross of Calvary and then came into our lives and set us completely free. Come on, you ought to clap for that today. He says, remember. And then he says, repent and do it all over again. Do it again. You repent. And people say, well, I don't like that word. I don't care for that word. Tough. You know what repent is? You were walking this way. And you turn around, and now it's not a 360 because you just land right where you came from. I'm tired of just having a church service, and everybody, you know, you get encouraged, your life gets impacted, and then you go out and you do the same thing that got you in the mess before. There's got to be a moment in your life where you turn from the direction that you're going and move in another direction and stop doing the things that corrode your life and your destiny. And God, well, you know what I've learned? That when I turn around and when I start moving in that other direction, even as hard as it is, even as difficult as it is, that He's there to help me and strengthen me and lift me up. And tell me you're going to do it. You're going to make it. You can accomplish this. I don't feel like it. You know, I've had to walk away from some people, some relationships, and it was really hard. But with every step I took, God was saying, I'm with you. I'll never forsake you. All others can walk away from you. They can talk bad about you. They can lie about you. But when I begin to walk towards Him, He began to strengthen me and come up under me. He began to bring other people in my life that would speak love and life into me and help me. He would do that. But I got to repent. I got to turn around. I got to move in that direction that God lifted me up one time. He can help me again. And no matter how far you think you've gotten from God, God is here in this house this morning to lift you up out of that mess, to help you, and to bless your life all over again. Oh, come on. Come on. Or He said, if you don't, He said, I'm going to come and remove the lampstand out of the midst of you. He'll take the light. He'll take whatever you got going on in your life. And if you can't see, you'll just end up anywhere. We serve a God that gives us another chance. We serve a God that gives us another opportunity. Oh, I'm so glad for that. My goodness, you are looking at a man that's had more chances, been forgiven more. That God has helped more than anybody, I think, on the face of the earth. But today, He's saying, you got to get back to that first love that you had. You may be looking for all other kinds of things. Maybe somebody in your home has hurt you. Maybe at your work. Maybe at school. Maybe a friend in the church. Maybe somebody well-meaning said something to you, broke your heart. God is a master of healing broken hearts and putting hurt people back together again. Would you close your eyes and just bow your head with me? I want the prayer folk, if you just come down here, there's going to be a beautiful moment here today. He's already been restoring and doing something beautiful, and He's not even done yet. He wants to restore and bring life and help and healing to you. Maybe you're here today and you've just been away from Him. Come on back. Come on to Him today. He's not mad at you. He doesn't hold anything in your past against you. Whew, my goodness, do I feel a power right now. He doesn't hold that against you. Other people will, but He does not. Who am I talking to? If I'm only talking to the one, that's enough today. How much He loves you. Remember from where you have fallen. And come back to Him today. And find the love of God for your life. I'm going to pray. And then I'm just going to open this altar like I do. And if anything that the Spirit of God, nothing that even a man could say, if anything that God has said to your heart, to your spirit, that you respond to that, I just want you to get out of your seat before you leave today. I want you to come down here. Let one of these folks pray for you. They may not know you. That's not important. God knows you. You don't have to get in. I don't want anybody to get into a counseling session down here. You're here to pray for people and pray for them only. Father, in the name of Jesus. If that's you, I'm talking about you. You feel God moving you even while I'm praying. You just come out of your seat. Come down. Stand in front of one of these folks down here. Let them pray over you. God, today I pray in Jesus' name. That's right. Come on. Just do it. Don't wait. It's a moment in your life today. Let him bring you back to that place. Let Him heal your heart. Let Him heal your hurt. I pray, God, for every one of my brothers and my sisters here today, that You would show the love of God to them like they have never known before. that the hand of the Lord would be upon them to heal, to restore, to make new and make alive again. Old things will be passed away, and behold, everything becomes brand new again. I ask it in the name of Jesus today for your glory and your honor. And everybody said amen. I love you so much. If you need prayer, don't leave. Come on down. Let one of these folks pray for you. Go in his grace today. He loves you so much.